And welcome to the third episode of the Bee Loving Show. I'm Aaron Cellarini, and I am your host. And this week's episode is part two of the amazing conversation that I had with Disney performer Sterling Lovett. So if you haven't listened to part one yet, go back and download the episode and listen to it first. But for everyone who is ready for more Sterling, let me first start off with a quick refresher of what we talked about last time. All right, so Sterling is a dancer, singer, choreographer, and actor, basically kind of a jack of all trades when it comes to the performing arts. He has spent the last 15 years of his life performing for the Walt Disney Company in entertainment, in parades, shows, including his daily appearances at Finding Nemo the Musical at Disney's Animal Kingdom. He has his own choreography company called Sterling Choreography and is currently starring in the Titusville Playhouse production of The Little Mermaid as Sebastian. And because he's so incredibly talented, he actually pulled double duty as the show's choreographer as well, while still working at Finding Nemo full-time. Personally, I don't know how the man is still alive, but somehow he managed to find the time to have this conversation with us. But last week, we talked a lot about kind of his story, how staying true to his passion got to him to where he is today, how it got him through, what he'd gone through in the past, and how he kind of crafted his life to be living in a space of performing art, whether it be in terms of his jobs, his relationship with others, and kind of what all that has taught him personally so far. This week, we get a little more in depth as we kind of explore, you know, the spirituality of his passion, how his beliefs influence his art, the experiences he has from that, and offers kind of some advice on how you might be able to find your own passion if you are searching, or maybe if you're just curious as how to get the ball rolling. So we'll be right back with more from my dear friend Sterling Lovett in just a bit, so stay tuned. Okay, so welcome back. We are back with Sterling Lovett, and we are talking about music, dancing, passion, and everything that goes along with it. So, Sterling, I guess my next question for you is, would you, I guess, consider yourself spiritual at all?
I do feel that, you know, there is a greater power. I believe in a God, and I believe that you have to put good energy out into the world, and you have to believe in something that allows that I don't know, power or being or whatever to help you along.
Right, exactly. I completely agree. But what role, I guess, Rainn Wilson was once talking to Oprah about art, and he was saying that all art is a form of prayer. So, you know, with that kind of mentality, do you agree with that? Like, what role does spirituality play in the evolvement of your passions for dancing, singing, music, etc.?
That's a good question. Like I said, when I dance, I feel like everything goes away, and I feel like I'm in a good space. I'm in a happy space. I'm in, you know, a spiritual space, because I feel like that space is where everything disappears, and that's where all the bad goes away, and, you know, the stress goes away is when you're in that space. And that space for me is when I'm dancing, and when I'm in that space and dancing, I feel like that's where my belief is when I'm in a space like that. And I have that. I mean, it's not just dancing. It's, you know, it's those times when you can clear your mind and you put all the riffraff aside and you go to a space where you can believe in something greater and drive you.
Yeah. And do you, I guess, would you say that you feel most at peace when you are performing then?
Yes, I feel most at peace. That's, we'll use that loosely because right. There are days that performing can get a little stressful. But yes, I do feel that. I feel like I am most at peace. I am most confident and most, I guess, comfortable when I'm on a stage. Auditions, probably not so much. But whenever I'm in it, that's my space.
And then, of course, there's like stage fright and, you know, nerves that bundle up before that.
Oh.
Is that part of it, or is that part of the passion just coming out? Is that just all inclusive, or is that something trying to combat,
I think it's all inclusive. I always think to myself that if you're not nervous, I mean, some kind of nerves, I mean, a lot of people will tell you, I'm not nervous. I don't get nervous. There's always something because going out on a stage in front of however many people is you putting yourself out there. It's you opening up every part of yourself, whether it be your heart or your talent or your spirituality, whatever it is, you're putting it out there. And, you know, that can be, people will judge and there's...
Yeah, I mean, you become 100% vulnerable.
Yes, you're completely vulnerable. And I think part of the vulnerability comes from your passion, and comes from being open and believing in, you know, that space that I spoke of, and knowing that in that space, while everything else goes away, you are still in a moment. And I don't know, I think that's, to me, that's a powerful moment to walk out on stage and know that while you are in a space, I don't know, I guess,
of complete vulnerability,
yeah, it's still a passion, which is odd to me because I think I get more nervous when I'm singing than I do dance, because I don't know, maybe that's my passion, is that dance is where I'm most comfortable and where I'm most vulnerable. And then acting, I just feel vulnerable.
Do you like the vulnerability that performance forces you into? Or
That's what I've learned over my 15 years at Disney, is learning to like that vulnerability and knowing that it's okay. You can go out on stage and you can be vulnerable as long as you go out and do it full out. Full out, no marking. I tell my students that you can't let what people think of you or what, you know, other performers are saying, because maybe there are people that can do it better, but as long as you're passionate about it, that's all that matters. And if you're passionate about it, you will do it full out and you will make it happen.
So what is about dance in particular, would you say that you love?
Well, especially choreographing. I love seeing how movements go to music. I love seeing how people interpret music, because there are so many ways to interpret music. There are so many ways to interpret dance, which is why I said there's no wrong or right. I mean, some of the greatest choreographers, you know, have come up with moves that we still do today that to some people look silly or strange, but there's still the fact that we still do them today is powerful. Like that choreography has lasted, you know, years and years and years. Bob Fosse, I mean, you can't do a Fosse move without thinking of Bob Fosse and having that energy and that feeling. So like the choreography is
transcendent.
Yeah, it can be, and it can bring out like so many different sides and feelings and different energies in people.
But that's terrifying.
Oh, it is.
That is the worst thing
it is.
Imaginable.
It is.
That I'm going to go up in front of a million people, and I'm just going to, open my guts out and just let them all pour all over.
Oh, I know. But
what delirious, crazy person would do that to themselves?
Well, I mean, and that's why there has to be a passion for it, I think. I mean, there is no wrong or right way, and I think that's where a lot of people miss the mark or go wrong, because they think that, you know, I'm not a great dancer and I can't do that. But every movement has some kind of relevance, because it can be something. It can turn into something. And I mean, I guess that works with singing too, but I don't know. I feel like with singing, there has to be a definite...
There's a right and wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a right and wrong way to breathe and to support, and from, you know, to place a note or to hit a note. There's a right and wrong way to do it. I mean, if you are passionate about dancing or singing, it comes, it flows out of you, and it's natural, and it happens, and you make it happen, and you feel good when it happens.
And you say it's worth the risk.
I think it's definitely worth the risk. I always tell people, don't worry about what people are thinking about you. If you feel like dancing, then you should dance. If you feel an energy when you hear a song, whether it be on the radio, if you're like in the car, or if, you know, when you hear a song, if you feel the need to move, then you need to move, and that's okay.
Just let it go. Do it.
Well Frozen.
Own it. Work it.
Well Frozen.
Frozen has now taken over Be Living as well.
Hashtag Frozen.
So talking about that, you say if you hear a song, dance to it. Go. Yes. Live. But
that's what I do.
But with dancing, like, so the dancing, it's kind of like a pattern.
Yes.
I guess you'd say a flowing pattern. So it's like dance, and it comes from your reaction to the music. And where does that come from then? Like, what is it about music and, you know, consequently dance that, like, where does that passion come from?
Well, I grew up listening to music all my life. So, like, I've always had a passion for music. We listened to it in, like whenever mom was cleaning around the house, she put on her music and we listened, or we danced, not so much clean, but we danced and we listened to music. So I grew up listening to music all my life. And I always felt a passion within music. And I think when it comes to, you know, your taste in music, your, you know, what you like listening to, or what you, you know, what's on your iPad or whatever, or iPod, I think that's where you find your, that's where your passion comes out. That's where your feeling of wanting to dance or wanting to sing comes out. If you hear a certain kind of music and it pulls something out of you, then that's the energy, that's the life source of it all. Because if you listen to a song and it doesn't mean anything to you, or it doesn't make you bob your head, or, you know, turn down for what? I don't know. If it doesn't do that for you, then I don't know. I just feel like it has to pull something out of you. Music has to pull something out of you. And to me, music pulls everything out of me. It pulls dance. It pulls emotion. It pulls energy, everything out of me. I listen to music every single day of my life. I know some days people, you know, will say, oh, I curled up on the couch with a book. And to me, that curling up on the couch with a book is music to me. I love, love, love music, and all kinds of music. It's not just, you know, the hip hop or the Broadway or whatever. Any kind of music, I can find some kind of energy and some kind of passion out of it. I mean, there are a couple of music genres that...
Just don't speak to me.
I mean...
I just don't feel polka.
I don't feel... It doesn't happen. But more often than not, every song that I hear pulls something out of me. And I listen to a lot of lyrics. I like to choreograph to lyrics. But I listen to a lot of lyrics and they remind me or help me with some part of my life, whether it be, you know, going on stage and feeling confident, or, you know, my insecurities about my singing, or, you know, whatever it is in life, my relationships with my family or friends or whatever. There's always something to apply. There's always a song to apply to your life. And then with that comes the singing and the dancing, because if that passion that you have for those lyrics and that melody or that, you know, that drum beat or whatever it is, it has to pull something out of you. It has to mean something. So it can't just be, you know, I like singing this song just because, I mean, a dance audition, you go to a dance audition, you learn a combination, and the best way to learn a combination is to feel the music and to feel the rhythm of the music. And if there are words, listen to the words, because that'll even help, you know, make your dance that much stronger or that much better. Because it is a feeling. It is something you have to connect to. You can't just do the moves. You can't just do the movements and go through the motions. You have to feel it. It has to come out of you.
So it pulls everything out of you. And are you sometimes surprised at the things that it does bring out in you?
Oh, definitely.
You realize some truth on stage and it brought you to your knees. Like,
something speaks to me.
Take me to church.
Yes, there have been times that I have listened to something or I've performed to something and I've been surprised, sometimes good, sometimes bad, at what is coming out and what I'm feeling. It never fails that I listen to music and I start dancing and immediately things are put back into perspective. Whether it be the song that I'm listening to or that I've chosen to listen to, or a song that just happened to come on the shuffle.
Right.
And I start listening to it and it immediately brings me back to where I need to be.
You've become a new person because of dance.
Yes.
But what would you, I guess, say to that former version of yourself? But if you could give it, if you could give him one advice and sit him down and say, boo, listen.
I would say, first of all, you're going to be okay. It's not that serious. Calm down.
I think that's the first thing we would say to all of ourselves.
Yes, like, calm down.
You need to calm yourself.
It's not that serious.
Not
relax. Whoa. But I think I would definitely say too that it's okay. You, as I said before, you are who you are, and you are who you are for a reason. And there's only one of you, and there's only one type of you, and that's okay because it's. It's taken me a while to get comfortable with listening to myself sing or watching myself dance or, you know, anything. But I have learned and grown over the years to accept everything about, you know, who I am as a performer and as a person. So I would definitely tell him it's gonna be okay. You're all right, and you can be you, and that's okay.
But for people that you don't know, you know, mm-hmm. For the person that you didn't know 10 mm-hmm. years ago, you know, it's so hard in this world to find for some people it's not as obvious, mm-hmm. Their connection to something, whether it be music, mm-hmm. art, writing, dance, what have you, mm-hmm. Running, exercises, mm-hmm. health, whatever it is that connects you and makes you feel that bigger thing. Mm-hmm. What would you say to people about how to find what that is for them?
Well, first of all, I think that there is a passion in all of us, and there is something in all of us, and finding that is up to you. I think it's something that you have to really, really think about, and I think it will come easier than it seems, because a lot of people that I've met or that I've run into have been, you know, very, you know, afraid or curious or, you know, confused when it comes to their passion, what they should be doing in life. And I think if there is something that you can't live without every day, or if there's something that you want to do all the time, whether it be, I mean, if it's eating, look into cooking, look into being a chef.
I just can't stop eating. It's all I want to do. It's literally all I think about all day.
So there is a passion in everything. Everything that we do, there is a passion in there somewhere. And I think it's finding the path to take you to where you need to be, whether it be career-wise or, you know, relationship-wise. There is a passion in everything. And I think the thing that drives you the most, that excites you the most, is what you're supposed to be doing. If there is something that excites you, that makes you light up, and I've had people tell me that I light up when I dance, and that's where I found my passion, is because of that light. So you have to find that energy that brings things out of you, that makes you alive, that makes you live, that makes you, you know, happy.
So lastly, what would you say, how would you define passion?
I think I just did. I think passion is that driving force. It is that excitement. I think it is that light. It is that energy. It's that thing that makes you, that brings you to life and makes you light up and makes you alive and makes you feel alive. And it can sometimes be scary because you're not always sure of it, and you're not always sure that is it. But if it makes you happy, and if it makes you feel good, and it has to make you want it, and it has to make you want to do it. So there is, like I said, a passion in everybody. It's just finding that and where it is, and accepting it and owning it and living it.
And how would you define happiness for yourself?
Happiness is morning and evening. It's daytime and nighttime too. I'm sorry, that was Charlie Brown. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. I'm sorry, those were lyrics from a song. I'm sorry. This was my mistake. That was, sorry.
I shouldn't have brought...
I'm kidding.
Someone from the theater into this... Never should have done.
It's the music. It's the lyrics. I actually wanted to dance, but I couldn't get up from the microphone, so I will stay seated. Yeah. No, happiness is... It's part of the passion, I think. I think it's... Whether it be a passion for life or a career or whatever, I think it's... When you find that, then you are happy, and you will be happy, and it will bring happiness to every part of your life at some point. It may not all happen at once. But
the struggle.
But the struggle is real.
Oh, quite real.
But there is a passion, and there is a happiness when you find that passion. And I think I found that passion, and I have been truly happy now that I know exactly what I should be doing and where my focus is. And you have to focus. You have to focus. That's a big one. You have to focus. Once you find it, you have to focus, and you have to think of happy things and think happy thoughts, and and live in a happy space and a happy, I don't know, just a happy life. I mean, make your own happiness. I don't think there's anyone that can tell you how to be happy, because I think you make your own happiness. And
it's something you create rather than something you find.
Exactly. It's something you create and not something you find. And I think it's the people that you surround yourself with. And when I say people, I mean family, friends, partners, lovers, whatever. It's the people that you surround yourself with, because if you're not happy with your surroundings, then you're kind of on the wrong path, because that is a big part of what makes you happy. I think these are my thoughts. I think that's a big part of being happy, is being happy in your surroundings, and whether it be work or friends or whatever, you have to be happy with that. And then, of course, obviously, happy with yourself. And I like making people happy, and I like having happy people around me. And I think that's why I have been so happy throughout my life, because I've had great parents, I've had an amazing family, I've had awesome friends, and I've learned from all of them, and I've found something in all of them to make me happy. And it's brought a happiness out of myself that I feel like I can give back, and know that is happy. That is my happy. And being happy and making people happy is my happy. And that's, I don't know. That was a lot of happies.
It's a good there.
Yeah.
I'm like wanting to play the Pharrell song. Like, so
please don't. I think we've all heard it enough. I mean, it's great. Sorry. I think it's great, Pharrell. But
yeah, it's great. You nailed it, Pharrell. But
yeah, you nailed it. And when I say nailed it, I mean like over and over and over again. I'm kidding.
Right. Well, we'll leave it at that, okay, so that we don't offend Pharrell anymore. But yeah. I'd love to thank you for all your time.
You're incredible. You are so welcome.
Yeah.
No, Aaron.
Let's hear it for the boy.
No, I was kidding. You're amazing, Aaron. Thank you so much. And I'm so happy for you and so proud of you for finding your passion, because I think you found it. And to everyone out there, find your passion. Be happy.
That's right. Word.
Conversation with Sterling. I had such a great time talking to him about this. In particular, this section of the conversation, I loved how we talked about, you know, there's a spirituality that can be experienced in living your passion. There's a comfortability that exists in partaking in that which we are called to do. But there's also a vulnerability to it when you exhibit that passion, not just publicly, but even privately. What you're most passionate about when you're doing it, when you're living in the space of it, it should open you up, which is such a powerful thing, because it's in those moments, as Sterling said in the last episode, that you truly exist in a space where everything disappears, good or bad. There's no right or wrong. And the end result of that is the exposure of a bit of your soul. And that's why living your passion can be so impactful. It's why, as Sterling mentioned in this part of the conversation, like, for example, in terms of dance, certain moves inhabit certain people doing those moves, like the Bob Fosse part when he said, those certain moves inhabit Bob Fosse. They still stand up today, which is crazy. Because these kinds of experiences are just transcendent in that way. When you are authentically living that which makes you feel alive, you can experience transcendent passion. Another thing that I love that Sterling and I talked about is how you can come across what you are passionate about, namely how it may come easier to you than it actually seems it would be, because it seems like such a big notion that it's this huge thing that you have to like spend your entire life finding. But I think that curiosity is kind of the first step to finding what that means, like where that passion can lie for you. There has to be something that you are constantly curious about, you know, and discovering passion could just mean following that path of curiosity until you know what it is that you're supposed to be doing by experiencing that light, that joy, and that, most importantly, that vulnerability that we talked about. Those are good signs. That means you're on the right road. And I think if you follow that, you can truly like come across what you really are passionate about. And I think that's something that kind of brought this to life in a way for me is this week, I had a little moment that happened on the beach. I love watching the sunrise on the beach. It's one of my favorite things to do. And I am blessed enough to live in the state of Florida where I can just take a 40-minute drive and actually go and do that. And so most recently, I was lying on the beach here in Cocoa, Florida, watching the sunrise like I do. And now this beach is kind of notorious for having not the best sand in the world. They're just shredded and crumbled and broken fragments of seashells that are just strewn about the entire shore. But I was laying there and just playing in this really shelly sand, completely nonchalant, basically just fidgeting until eventually my fingers were all of a sudden deep within the ground and I hit something pretty hard and pulled it out. And lo and behold, it was just the perfect seashell. Like, it looked like it came out of a seashell catalog. It was the Heidi Klum of seashells. And I thought for a second, wow, you know, like, here's this perfectly beautiful thing hiding, and I literally just stumbled upon it. And I think that goes to show you that, you know, if you can dig past all the brokenness, you can find perfection, and it might be right underneath your feet. And I just thought that was like a really beautiful sentiment. And I think it kind of goes along with what we were saying with Sterling. Like, you know, you may aimlessly bump into that thing that you are passionate about. And when you find it, it'll be perfect. And you wouldn't have even been looking for it, maybe. Like, I wasn't digging around in the sand looking for a shell to bring home or anything. But I was just aimlessly following a curiosity with my fingers subconsciously, and I came across this thing of beauty. So just keep that in mind and when you're thinking about like your own passions. And I hope that you got as much out of this conversation with Sterling that I did. I had a really great time. But that's it for this episode of The Bee Living Show. So tune in next Friday. And remember, you can catch Sterling in The Little Mermaid at Titusville Playhouse at Sebastian now through September 6th. There are still tickets. They actually opened up a few new shows so you can actually see him in all of his glory. But until next week, be real, be strong, be living. Talk to you guys later.